These are hard times. Seems like the world has changed so very much. And sometimes those of us who are older, you wonder why we speak with maybe a little pessimism. And it's because we've seen other days and other times. And our times today are things that make us worry and question and wonder. When I was a boy going to school, we had prayer and Bible reading every day in school. In those days, you didn't hear a lot of ugly words on television. There were a lot of the things that are so put in front of us today that would have been only spoken in secret. Times and morals have changed. The church has changed in some ways. It's not near as strong as it was when I was growing up. There are a lot of things that worry me as I travel from church to church here in my own home state. And as I travel through the church across the country, when I think about churches, there aren't as many as there used to be. And they're not near as strong as they used to be. A lot of changes have taken place across this country. You've got some folks that want to make laws where God hadn't made any. And you've got other churches that seem to have forgotten what God said and have turned their back on God and have turned their back on the truth. And it's easy at times to get discouraged. Easy at times to begin to wonder, well, you know, is it ever going to get any better than this? There might be some folks who might even get to the point where they lose a little bit of their hope. Sometimes when you talk to people and you ask them, well, are you right with God and are you going to heaven? And they'll say, I hope so. And it seems that in their heart there's such a big question there that they don't really know. That they haven't really taken the time to think through, have they made their lives right with God? Hope is a confident expectation. It's confident, and that means that a person who has hope, he knows what the future holds. Because he knows who God is. And he believes strongly in what God promises. But there's also an expectation that's there. That they're looking forward to something. That there's something in the future out there that is secure. And that you can hope in and know it's true. I love that song you led just a moment ago, On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand. That's our hope. That's what makes the difference for us. And all other ground truly is sinking sand. It's only through Jesus that we have the way, the truth, and the life. It's only through Jesus that we have a future. It's only through Jesus that we can come to know the Father. It's only through Jesus that we can have our family in the church. I go a lot of places where almost everybody I meet is somebody brand new to me. I was not long ago in California. And there was a fellow who came to visit us from another congregation at the meeting. And I had met him before in Tennessee one time. And he was the only person I'd ever laid eyes on in that whole group. And the same thing is true in places like Michigan or West Virginia when I went there early on. But those are things that, in spite of the fact you meet somebody that you've never known, but you know what? Because you're a member of the Lord's body. Because they're a member of the Lord's body, then that makes us have the same Father and we are brothers and sisters in Christ. When I walked through the door Sunday, I was your brother in the Lord. But I feel like that this week we've been able to renew an awful lot of friendship. And I'm thankful for that. Not just brother and sister, but also friends. Friends. That's the hope that we have in Christ. And it's a wonderful hope and it's a great hope. When you think that all is lost, Just remember that God the Father is still in heaven and Jesus is still on the throne. And nothing that'll ever happen can change that. When you think all that is lost, remember that the Holy Spirit is still working through this Word. And this Word is powerful and it is true. And it gets down to the heart of the matter. That it's able to divide between joint and marrow. It's able to look into the difference between soul and spirit. It's able to look into our hearts and see who we are and what we are. The Word of God still has the power of God unto salvation. It still works. It still works greatly. When you get a little discouraged and you think about how that there are all these injustices in the world, just remember that Jesus is coming again. And when He comes again, He's going to settle all of the injustices. Those who have been selfish and greedy and those who have been abusive of others, that God will take care of that. That He'll deal with it. Whenever you get down and out, remember that your prayers still reach the Father's ear. That He still hears. And you know what? He longs to hear you. Sometimes I think we forget about prayer and how much God wants us to pray to Him. You know, it was the Lord Jesus who invited us to ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. It's not that we were down there hoping God would listen to us. The fact of the matter is that God invited us. I want to hear what's on your heart. I know what you need even before you ask, but I want to hear it. I want you to ask anyway. And if our own fathers could be good to us, you know, they wouldn't give us a stone when we ask for bread. They wouldn't give us a serpent, a snake if we ask for fish. Why, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more so does our Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to those who seek Him, to those who ask Him? God loves us. And He hears every prayer that we pray. Now, that doesn't always mean that He answers them as quickly as we'd like for them to be answered. I've often thought about the children of Israel when they were down in Egypt. You know, they prayed. They prayed for deliverance when they were enslaved by the Egyptians. You think about it. An Egyptian say, okay, mom and daddy, every time you have a little boy child, you go out there and you kill him. Don't you know they prayed? They were dealt with in a difficult, harsh way by the Egyptians. And they called out to God and they called out to God and God had a plan. He had a plan all along. But it wasn't going to happen today or tomorrow. Moses was 80 years old before God answered those prayers. We give up sometimes too quickly. We lose hope too fast because we want everything today. And if God doesn't answer our prayers today, then somehow or another, maybe God hasn't been as busy as He ought to be. But you know what? God answered those prayers. He answered the prayers of the Israelites in Egypt. And He did it His way, and He did it in a way that was far more powerful, far greater than anything that anyone had ever seen before. And all through the history of Israel, it was not just that God delivered Israel out of Egypt, but that God acted with a mighty arm, and He brought this enslaved group of people to a new place, gave them homes and made them a nation. God was the power behind it. Sometimes it seems like we're all alone in this world. And I remember Elijah and how God told Elijah that there were still 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal. And you know what? I've been in lots of states. And I've seen a lot of brethren in the last 5 years. And you know what? You're not alone. You're not alone. there's still a lot of people who love the Bible and who love the truth and want to do what's right. There are still people who are young who are preaching the truth and want what's right. Brethren, the church will survive even whenever we're gone, because there is another generation coming along that loves the truth and loves what's right. And they'll continue to preach that truth, and I'm thankful for that. Hold on to the truth. God can work through every age and in every circumstance. And if we think that our day and time is so evil and so bad, it's not the first time things have been this bad. When the Apostle Paul preached in Corinth and in Rome, and when he preached in Athens, everything that you could imagine that's going on today in our world was going on back then. There's nothing new. There were Roman women who counted their years by which husband they were married to, because they divorced and married so frequently. See, the world has always been wicked. It's always been worldly. But you know what? The truth and the love of God and the love that Jesus showed to people still has the power to transform lives and make a difference in people's lives so that they can become what God wants them to be. In the book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4, the Bible says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our learning, that through patience or perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." And as you look through the Old Testament and you read those stories of old and you see how God was with the people and how God blessed the people and how God encouraged the people and delivered the people, even sometimes when they didn't deserve it, that does give us hope that even in all of our weaknesses and frailties and difficulties, that God will stand beside us and help us through our struggles and through the things that we do, and we sometimes mess up and God's still with us. He's still there. He still loves us. When I think about how bad the world is, I remember Noah. Can you imagine Noah preached 100 years and the only people he could save were his own family? His wife, his sons, and their wives. That's all that ever made it on the ark. Everybody else was lost. He lived in a bad world. But God was with him. When I think I have a problem that is so big that I can't possibly deal with it, I remember David. David had a 9'9" problem. That's how tall Goliath was. Taller than I am up here on this thing. That's a pretty big guy. But you see, he had the power of God with him. And no matter how big Goliath was, God was bigger. And sometimes we have to remember that God is bigger than our problems today too. Sometimes we look at things and we think, well, that's insurmountable. There's no way that we can possibly win. But you know what? We have to have the courage of David, who whenever Goliath had mocked and blasphemed the name of Jehovah God, David spoke out very clearly that he was coming in the name of God, and that God would deliver him that day. And he did. He did. When I think that people can't change, I remember Jonah. Jonah. Oh, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. Well, why did he not want to go to Nineveh? Because the people there were so wicked and so cruel, and he hated them. They were the kind that would go and they would rip up women when they had small children inside their bellies. They were the kind of people who didn't care about anything or anybody. And God told Jonah, you go and you preach to these people in Nineveh. You tell them, yet 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. Boy, that was a short sermon, wasn't it? But God was behind that. And even though Nineveh was despised by Jonah, Nineveh was still loved by God. And when Jonah went and preached that simple sermon, the people repented and God relented. People can change. And sometimes the very people that you think, oh, they'll never be any different than that, they can change. When I went into Russia many years ago, and so many of the people there had a blank slate when it came to religion. They didn't know what they believed. They had only been exposed to the Russian Orthodox Church, which was corrupt. And many of the priests in that church were in with the KGB, and so the people, the common people, thought all religion was bad. But they had heard about Jesus a little bit, and they had heard a little bit about the Bible. And they wanted to know. And when the gospel was preached, even some of these folks that had all they'd ever heard was atheism, who had never owned a Bible, had never looked into it, began to change their hearts and change their ways. Many years ago, Cole, whenever I was in Texarkana, and I went into the federal prison that was there and preached. You think these folks would want to hear what I have to say? But you know what? Whenever I would walk through that prison, and I'd have to walk a pretty good distance to go back into the very back portion, and I finally got to the chapel area, those men, they wanted to hear everything I had to say. They were humble, and they were listening. Because, you see, they had messed up their lives, and they wanted something better than what they had had. They knew that the gospel would give them hope and help and give them a future. Oh, when I think people can't change, I know better. The last time I was here, I told you a lengthy story about my uncle. Wanted in 7 states for his crimes. He told my mama that he had committed every crime that a man could commit, except he had never murdered anybody. He went to jail, and my parents tried to teach him. He was never baptized at that point, but after my daddy died a few years, you remember he called me, and I went and I taught him what to do to be saved. And he obeyed the gospel. And I never saw such a change in my life in a man. And you remember that he was baptized, and he began to baptize others. And Cole, with his own hands, from the time that he was converted in 1987 and God forgave him until he died in the year 2005, he baptized more than 1,100 people here in the state of Oklahoma. Perhaps you remember the name Jeffrey Dahmer. Jeffrey Dahmer was a murderer, a serial killer. He was a homosexual, and he was a cannibal, and he killed several people. He was caught in the state of Wisconsin and put in prison. But what you may not know about Jeffrey Dahmer is that until the age of 11, he attended the Church of Christ. His parents unfortunately divorced, and he went with his daddy, and he quit going to church. And he began his terrible ways. Things got worse and worse. When he was put into prison, you'd think, here is a man that everybody despises. Here's a man that could possibly have no hope because of all the sins that he'd committed. But whenever there was a sweet lady named Virginia named Mott, And Curtis G. Booth sent him both a Bible study. He began to study it. Why? Because it was from the Church of Christ. And he remembered going to the church when he was a boy. And he took those studies and he finished those studies. And in April 1994, he wrote a letter asking to be baptized because he wanted to be baptized and he needed to be baptized. Well, Kurt got on the phone, found a man, Brother Ratcliffe, to go in and to baptize him. As far as we know, Jeffrey Dahmer remained faithful until he was beaten to death in the fall of that same year, 1994. People can change. And you know what? I'm thankful that God grants us the opportunity to repent. Sometimes whenever you say repent, people think that you're being mean or you're trying to hold them down or you're trying to do something to them. But repentance is an opportunity to make changes in our lives. Repentance is a change of the heart that leads to a change of life. And whenever we change our hearts and change our lives, we can become different people. People can change, and there is hope for every single person. And when God grants us that opportunity to change, God knows that we can change. Sometimes people say, oh, that's just the way I am and I can't be any different. Yes, you can. And God can help you to change and become the kind of person that you really want to be. I mentioned Sunday. That phrase, I'm not all I ought to be. I'm not all I want to be. I'm not all I'm going to be. But thank God by His mercy and grace, I'm not what I used to be. Folks, that's the hope of the gospel. And repentance is a big part of that. Oh, I've talked about faith and I've talked about baptism and I've talked a little about repentance, but I want you to know repentance is something that is where a lot of the change takes place in your life. God says, oh, that's the wrong way to go. Don't go that way. It'll hurt you. Oh, go this way. It's the right way and it'll bless you. That's repentance. When your heart changes and say, I don't want to do the things that hurt me anymore. I want to do the things that help me. And you change from that to that. That's repentance. And God grants us that opportunity. Now, I tell you what, when someone says to me, and I ask them, are you saved? And they say, well, I hope so. I'll guarantee you the reason why they're saying it like that is because somewhere they may have some guilt in their conscience. But here's the great message. Whenever we are Christians and we finally get honest with ourselves and say this was the wrong thing to do and repent of that, confessing it and asking God to forgive us, He will. And when God forgives us, He forgives us completely. So that we're not saying, well, I hope I'm saved. We can say, like John did, these things have been written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And we can know, we can have confidence. We can have expectation. When Jesus Christ comes again, how are you going to think about Jesus in that second coming? When you see Jesus coming again, are you going to be frightened? Are you going to say, oh no, it's come and I'm not right with God? Or are you going to have that confident expectation, that hope that says, the Lord Jesus is coming? But I'm living my life because I love Him and I've been serving Him and I know that His blood has forgiven me of my sins, and you're going to say, you know, come quickly, Lord Jesus. We want You to come. We're looking forward to seeing to You. That's our living hope. That's in the resurrection from the dead. That when He comes again, we'll be able to greet Him and we'll be able to go and be able to go up in the air with Him and be with Him forever and ever. That's our hope. That's our hope. Sometimes people wonder, well, did Jesus really forgive me of my sins? Were my sins really forgiven when I was baptized? When I repent and ask God to forgive me, does He really forgive my sins as a Christian? The answer to that question is yes. Turn with me in your Bible to 1 John chapter 1. There's a phrase sometimes that we forget. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 7, he says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." If we're living like we ought to live, walking in the light. Now, nobody's going to be perfect. You can't be perfect. I can't be perfect. But if we're walking in the light, we're living for the Lord. Then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, then we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, now that's Christian brother and sister. If we confess our sins, now here's the phrase that matters. He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. He is dependable, loyal, trustworthy. You can put yourself in the hands of God. And when He washes away those sins, they're gone. And when God cleans you up, He doesn't clean 50% of the sin and leave the others there. Or 60% and leave the others there. Or 80% or 90% or even 95% and leave the others there. He cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Every sin. Every single one of them. You see, if my robe is white, it's completely white. Because it was washed in the blood of Jesus. It's not something that is white mostly. And then there's spots here and there. No. No, when you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you're completely clean. And that's the hope that we have. You see, the hope that we have is, yes, we do our very best. Yes, we do what we can. We confess our sins when we do wrong. We repent of our sins when we do wrong. We're willing to confess them when we do wrong. But we also have the confidence that God is faithful. That God is trustworthy. That when we put our souls into His hand, He will wash us clean. That's the hope that we have. Someone says, "Did God really forgive me of all my sins?" Yes. Yes, He did 1,000 times He did. Now, I've talked here about what a Christian does whenever he's done wrong, because I know most of you are Christians. But if you've not yet become a Christian, you need to become one tonight. To believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it starts with faith. And you have to have faith in you and love. And with that faith and love, to repent of that sin, to turn away from it, to take on what's good and right, to confess His name before others, and to be baptized. And when you're baptized, God washes away all those sins, every single one. Now that's the hope that we have in Christ. You know what? It's a good hope. It's a real hope. It's the kind of hope that we can live with, and it's the kind of hope that we can die with. It's the kind of hope that when you go to bed tonight, you can say, "Yes, my conscience is clean because I'm right with the living God, and my sins are all washed away. And I have them no more. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, it is well with my soul. Is it well with your soul? When you leave tonight, will you walk out that door with a clean conscience, right with God? If you won't, or if you're thinking right now you won't be, why in the world would you sit there and not make a change? Why would you not straighten out your life? Because it would be so much better if when you walked out that door, you could walk out and say, all my sins are washed in the blood of Jesus. Now, Coogan's going to lead an invitation song. And it's the Lord's invitation. And He's inviting you to make a change in your life. Don't sit there and do nothing if you need to. Make that change tonight. Always stand.
There's a fountain free.